Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
From a frigid Saddle Dome in Calgary on a not particularly nice day, may I add. Bob Stauffer joining you. We're going to go extended hour today. Go to 3 o'clock, noon to 3 on game days. Round 2, Battle of Alberta. It's time to hear from you. That's right, your chance to chime in. You can reach us on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063, and text us on the Astley Fine Floors text line. Did you enjoy Game 1? Or is it too hard if you're an Oilers fan to have seen what transpired? Because from a purely theatrical perspective, it was a fun hockey game. And conversely, have you lost a little bit of faith, or do you think it was just one game? 780-496-0063. We dropped the puck with Alex on line number one. Hi, Alex. Did we lose Alex?
But I was traumatized by game one. I think I still am.
You were traumatized by game one.
The only thing that would have been better, Bob, is if Edmonton found a way to win that bloody game, and the fans of Calgary would have been traumatized.
There's no, like, I can tell you, when they tied it at 6-6, it was silent for about 30 seconds. But the problem was they tilted the ice right after, and that's one of the things, like, and I know you listen to the show. I've mentioned this before.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm coaching against Edmonton, I'm hard-pressed for checking the Oilers. That's how I would coach against Edmonton. Now, Todd McLellan will tell you he didn't have the personnel in L.A. He could not expose his defense, given that they had it, like, their whole right side of their defense were playing their first NHL playoff games. They didn't have Doughty and they didn't have Walker, and they couldn't play the way they wanted to play. So, you know, that's one man's opinion, but for what it's worth, I thought that'd be interesting.
You know, I got an opinion about it too, and I mean, I'm wondering if Edmonton can't handle the moment. I mean, I tell you, how many times in game in L.A.? 5 out of the 7 games, they started off slow, and then the first game was just absolutely horrendous. And then their power play, Bob, it was awful.
Yeah, they did.
Game one.
Yeah, and again, the Kings started exerting more pressure on Edmonton as the series went on. Calgary specifically went after Nugent Hopkins and Barry. When the puck got moved to the left side hash boards, they overloaded and tried to create some turnovers there. Great point by the Flames. Have a good penalty. They limited. Dallas got nothing. Dallas lost momentum in the series on their power play. I thought Edmonton would be better. The Oilers weren't sharp. They weren't ready to go. They weren't snapping it around. And they lost momentum on all four power plays. When the game was tied 6-6,
exactly.
Calgary was up in the special teams battles. I know the shots were 2-1 for the Oilers, but it was, if they had done a better job in the power play, it might have, you know, changed the course or altered the direction of the game, and they didn't do that.
Well, that was what was so maddening. I'm sitting in my living room, and me and my wife were looking at each other. We're going, what is happening here? Yeah. We're going, you know, and so that was hugely frustrating. But,
all right. Can they win the series?
No, Bob, I'll let someone else get on the air.
All right, you bet. 780-496-0063. That's the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Brendan, are we going to Ron next?
We sure are.
Let's go to Ron. You're up next. Ron, you there? Hey.
Yes, sir. I wouldn't say traumatized. I was dramatized. What a great game. It was just so fun. Now,
keep going.
This season, I've noticed early in the season, Connor developed this little head fake thing where he would go back and forth, confuse the guy, and then I've noticed other players kind of copy him. Well, in the last 3 games that you've mentioned, I've seen a little maneuver that I've never seen from anybody else, and I'm calling it the Top Gun maneuver.
The Top Gun maneuver.
Yeah, Maverick is flying, and he slams on the brakes and lets the jet that's chasing him go by, and he shoots him from behind. So here's Connor. I've never seen a player stop and start on a dime and twist and turn, and I don't think anybody can duplicate that.
He is
what
the most
special player.
Yeah, he's the most advanced player we've ever seen. I mean, I think you mentioned that. I mean, think back to the Anaheim series. Edmonton fell behind. Remember, they won the first two games in Anaheim. They returned home, and the Ducks came out storming. And they were up 3-0. The Oilers rallied in the second period, and McDavid made a move on Sammy Vatanen, and he froze him, and he curled up the half boards and stopped, and he ended up skating right past him, and then he ripped one home. I'll never forget what Chris Knobloch, the head coach of the Erie Otters, told me at the 2015 draft. He said, Stoff, you're going to see McDavid do something in year 4 or 5, and you're going to say, I've never seen that. That's what this guy does. He's never stopping working on it. All right, thanks for the call, okay, Ron? Awesome stuff.
Go Oilers.
Let's go to Big Bad Joe on line number 3. Big Bad Joe, you're on the air. Do we have Big Bad Joe?
Was a quick try. You do.
All right.
Yeah. Do you hear me?
We got you. Go for it.
Yeah, man. I was shell-shocked on the first game. I was the one who said, you know, the Oilers take it at 4-1 based on the game from Saturday. But what I noticed in the game was fun. The forwards were playing up too high. There was the gap between the defense and the forwards was too big. If they solve that, the Oilers going to be okay, though. They're going to win the series.
All right. That's now, I'm going to guess you're probably a fan of European football. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. You see, if I would be Woodcroft, I would play 2-1-2. Because then you clock up, then you have the extra guy on the middle, and when you break out, you have options to where to put the puck.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Big Bad Joe. Thanks for the call. 780-496. Yep, you bet. We're going to go to Harold on line number 4. Hi, Harold. How you doing?
Pretty good, Bob. I'd like to say thank you, and you're doing an excellent job, and you got a little bit of extension work for yourself.
Yep.
For you.
It's all good.
Real quick, I apologize, I didn't listen to the show earlier in the week, but what do you think, if they hadn't had those two, I think Edmonton would have did it for them. If they hadn't had those quick two.
You think the Oilers would have been fine in game one?
I think so, because like when they tied it at 6-6, that would have been like 6-4 if they hadn't had those
wow.
goals.
I think the team was in shell shock after the first goal, to be honest with you. It is interesting. They had a little bit of illness running through the team. They've had some injuries. So McDavid, obvious, or Draisaitl and Nurse, you know, missed some practices, and then Kane and Nugent Hopkins missed some practices. I don't think, like, Edmonton's got speed. They didn't show it in that first game. The problem is we'll never know. Against this team, I just don't think you can chase that much. And they put themselves in position the last two times they've played here where they've been chasing a fair amount.
That's correct. But anyway, I just thought I'd just throw that in there and go, Oilers, go.
All right. Thanks for the call, Harold. Let's go to Jonathan, who is calling from Warman, Saskatchewan. Hello, Jonathan. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Yourself, Bob?
Good.
That's good. Wow, like, I actually wasn't even able to watch the game. Like, I've been living in Saskatchewan for 20 years now, so when I'm at home, usually I can watch the game, but I was stuck in a commercial truck that night, and I was just completely shell-shocked after the first two goals, and when I heard, like, I was listening to you guys, streaming you guys online. And once again, like I've said many times to the people that don't listen to you guys, they should actually give you guys a chance to listen, because you guys are more critical of the Oilers than what you have to be on TV, and I absolutely love listening to that. But when I heard the Oilers went up 6-6 or tied the game at 6-6, I was just in complete shock.
I'm broadcasting the teams. I couldn't believe. Here's the thing. It's not like Edmonton had a game against Jonathan. They had a game against Colorado a number of years ago. Like, we're going back almost 10 years. And the Avs weren't very good in Edmonton. Dallas Aikens was coaching the Oilers. The Oilers weren't great. And Edmonton fell behind 4-1, but they put up like 55 shots on goal, and they came back and won the game 6-4. And that was not a surprise to me, because Colorado was giving up tons of shots on a game-by-game basis. What was so stunning the other night, Edmonton down 6-2 to make it 6-6, is the Flames were taking it to Edmonton. And the Oilers were scoring on plays. The two goals by Hyman, those were C-grade opportunities. He just put the puck on the net and they went in. Then a broken play, and Draisaitl gets a partial breakaway down 6-5. And then the McDavid game tire, David sets up Yamamoto for the game tire. There's one player in the world that can make that play off the... It was a quick little face-off play, and McDavid beat two guys, right? But that's what was crazy about 6-6. They really hadn't done that much to put themselves in a position to get to 6-6. That's what was shocking about it. The Flames were taking it to Edmonton at every stretch during that game. And that's what made it bizarro night and made great theater.
Well, whatever happened, like, unfortunately, the outcome wasn't in our favor, but still, like, I even got a text from my son from my home here, and he was saying, Dad, this game is insane.
It was an insane game. Thanks, Jonathan. Drive safely, all right?
Yeah, I will. Thanks. Bye.
780-496-0063. So, Jonathan, listening in Saskatchewan, we're going to go to Brett, who is calling us from Nanaimo. How you doing, Brett?
I'm doing good, Bobby. How you doing?
Good, man. What do you got?
Listen, I just got one thing to say. Regardless of this outcome, Calgary's always going to be the little brother that can't come hang downstairs in the basement with the cool kids. They're always going to be the Shelbyville, the R. Springfield. I really don't care. Oilers in five. Let's go, baby. Play La Bamba.
All right. Well, there you have it. Brett, winning fans and influencing friends all over the southern part of the province of Alberta. We go to Darren on line number six. Hello, Darren. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
I was listening there earlier. There was the guy who was saying Connor McDavid can stop and pivot and shoot and score. And they said there was nobody else in the league that could do that. I love the Oilers, but don't forget about Cale Makar. He did it in Chicago. It's overtime. He did the exact same move.
Cale Makar?
Yeah. Put it right in top corner over Fleury.
Cale Makar is a spectacular player. He is a spectacular player.
Now, there's one thing I've never seen any other NHL player do that Connor's done, is what he did to the Rangers when he split them right up the center there. He went through four guys.
Yeah,
NHL quality players, man. And he put the puck in the net.
Here, what's crazy about Connor is when you talk, and I'll be honest, I'm a little bit limited at home to talk, to get a chance to talk to opposition players, and rooms aren't open anymore. But in the past, because what happens at home is I'm on the air when the teams get off the ice. So I'm not in the opposition room much anymore, right? But when we travel on the road, and we used to have access to the room, and, you know, usually there'd have to be a Western Canadian connection. You know, if a guy played in the dub or something, you'd go and talk to him. But the reverence, that's the word I use. The players have, now, Calgary's going to come out and they're going to try to pound Connor because they got to do that. But the players have reverence for how spectacularly gifted he is. They know how good, that's what's the crazy part about it. They know how good this guy is. They don't, right. He's such a physical freak on the ice that, and I'm going to guess that they've started to have that feeling for Cale Makar in the back end as well.
Absolutely. I think it is. They don't know what to expect. They don't know to go back. They don't know to go forward. They get confused, and by then he's gone, right?
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for the call, Darren.
All right. Go Oil.
I got a full board here. It's 1:48. I got to take a quick timeout. I got Brian, Mean Gene, Harry, and Coach Al still coming. You're listening to Oilers Now. All right, it is 1:51 in Edmonton. Let's go to the Oilers Now Injury Report, brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitments, unrivaled results. And we're going to combine it with the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Ben says, Bob, there's rumors around that Darnell Nurse needs core muscle surgery in the offseason. Can you confirm or deny this? I can't confirm it. I know where the report came from. It came from Frank Cervelli, who was on the road and wrote a piece for Daily Faceoff today talking about the severity of the injuries to Leon Draisaitl, who was not on the ice today for morning skate, and Darnell Nurse, who was on the ice for morning skate today. And we will, I mean, it's a distinct possibility may require surgery. Lots of players played through injury at this time. Tyson Berry did not skate today. Could be an illness situation, and still a distinct possibility draws in tonight. We go to Brian, who's been patiently waiting on the line. Brian, how you doing? You're on Oilers Now.
Hey, Bob. Good show. I always enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
Had a just comment to make and a question. The last regular season game the Oilers played Calgary, 9-5, I believe it was.
Yes.
And then I'll just bring it to the last game where McDavid was hit a number of times and guys were getting in his face. Never saw anyone come near Goudreau in that last regular season game. And this last game, I didn't see a lot of the game. But if that was the case as well, why isn't it coach setting somebody after him to disrupt that line?
Because that, okay. And here's my theory. You don't have to agree with me. My theory is that we have a different generation of players, You can't just say, hey, dude, go over there and go stick Johnny Goodrow or cross. But you can say, you can use euphemism talk and talk about making things difficult on their top players. But the Oilers have, and I know Daryl Sutter talked about the Oilers D being more experienced, but the Oilers have younger forwards. And they don't have forwards that necessarily have those sort of intangibles. And we can debate the merit. There were some decisions that were made. There were some guys, replacement level players, that were given a, you know, 2-year term deals from the Oilers that are not part of these playoffs right now. And I am of the belief that you have to do something as a player. Either you score, or you're tough, or you're an excellent face-off guy, or a great checker. You can't just be just a guy. And so I think Edmonton doesn't necessarily, the Oilers have a younger team. They've got some younger forwards that have not grown up in the game. You and me, I grew up, like I played against Todd Ewan growing up, okay? He was the best player that St. Albert had when I was growing up. He was also so tough that by the time he went to the National Hockey League, he dropped Bob Probert once in a fight. But there were guys, when we'd play St. Albert, they'd have 15 guys that would run us. Because that's how the game was played. We knew that. And they'd beat us 8 or 9-2 and steal our lunch money, too. You know, and it's just a different generation of players. And Calgary's got guys that are more willing and more capable of physically doing that.
So what about Zach Kassian? Why couldn't he
He's got to be
line?
More involved. He's got to be more involved. He's supposed to be one of the guys. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you.
Okay. Yep, you bet, Brian. Let's go to Mean Gene on line number, well, I don't know what number he's on, but Mean Gene, how you doing?
Hey, doing pretty good, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I had to call in here and give a bit of insight for Oiler Nation. I was at the game the other night.
Yeah.
Game one. And I got to say, that's got to be a tough barn to play in because before the puck even dropped, that building wanted to explode.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to give the insight because I felt for Smitty before the puck even dropped. The crowd was just screaming at him.
Here's my theory on the difference between Calgary and Edmonton. The Oilers fan base is bigger. The TV numbers are better. You know, the Twitter followers, it's double in Edmonton what it is for Calgary. It's not because we're better than the guys. It's just that's the fan base. But I think the hatred for Edmonton in Calgary is greater than the hatred for Calgary at Edmonton. I genuinely, because the Oilers have had greater success as an organization, and the Oilers have had Gretzky, and they've had McDavid. What do you think? Do you think I'm out to lunch, or do you think I'm on to something?
Well, I'll tell you something. That's an older rink, right?
Yep.
What do you think the lie angle is on those seats? Like, that, the seats are steep, you know, and you're closer to the rink. And
they're on you.
More of an opportunity to have the players, the goalies, hear you. Like, I was shaking in my boots sitting in the crowd. I couldn't imagine how.
Did you have an Oilers jersey on?
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, when it went from 5-1 to 6-6, the emotions, Bob. We were up, dancing, laughing at the Calgary fans.
And then I got three quick ones.
Hey, the beer started falling on us somehow, some way. We didn't want to look back, though.
All right. Well, good for you. Hey, I got to get at least one more in, so thanks for the call, okay? Coach L, you're going to get last word in this Iraq. You got about a minute. Go for it, Coach L.
Hey, Bob. Good show, you guys. Good to
thanks.
Call in. Okay, so 6-6 tie. All of a sudden, the order stopped.
Didn't stop. I don't think they ever got started. They were lucky to be at 6-6. Calgary just kept on coming.
Yeah, but they start the game 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, like give that. They came back, and I thought they were really doing well. Then there was the intermission, and then they came back, and then, you know, kind of like just kind of, I think maybe inexperienced with some players. And I thought they did fairly well. But you know what? As a coach, you go into it, and you're coaching already two games, Calgary, two games, Oilers tied. Go into Calgary again. You got to coach that way, too. You got to think about the games.
All right. Thanks, Coach L. Thanks a lot for the call. Thank you to everybody that participated in the interactive segment. And now it's great because people are participating in terms of talking about the callers. And somebody said, Bob, I think Mean Gene's ready to go already for tonight's game as well. It's going to be a kicker. Late start, 8:40, like 8:45-ish. Off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Belp, Mark Spector, and Kevin Lowe. Still to come on Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.